Turn your Bible back to Exodus chapter 10. And before that, of course, we want to briefly mention last week we have already considered the subject of the first sacrifice taken from Genesis 3:21. And of course, we also look at Genesis 4:4 of Abel's offering, which was acceptable to God. We saw how God Himself, through the provision of the coats of skin for Adam and Eve, which signal the way in which God intended to reconcile sinners back to Himself. And God, in His great mercy, not only show us the way of salvation, but He also demonstrated through that act to show us, to demonstrate to us how it will be done, how His way of salvation is acceptable to God Himself. This afternoon, we want to look into the subject of light. Light and darkness, in fact. I was told, when if you visit this place in Switzerland, I think, where this you will find the monuments of the reformers, where you will find the statues of John Calvin. And I think standing beside him is Theodore Beza. Theodore Beza is the assistant to John Calvin. And you also have there Zwingli and a few others reformers, on display there in their statues. But the thing that is more important for us to note is not just the monument, but the words that are inscribed there, which is in Latin. I don't know what that means, or rather how you read that, but the meaning of those words translated in English is this: after darkness, light. After darkness, light. Our text, Exodus 10:23, gives us something of that great contrast between darkness and light, gloom and gladness, you may want to say, unease and relief, danger and security, despair and hope. Light, as we all know, not only gives us brightness, but it also produces heat or warmth, or we feel the warmth from that heat source, isn't it? And when we are feeling warm, we also feel comfortable and restful. Unlike one who is feeling cold, like me right now, my fingers is really cold. It's not a very nice feeling, but when you are warm, you feel very comfortable, isn't it? One who is cold is shivering and you are very unrest. And that's the picture of light, isn't it? The background to this text, as you all know, was here is the ninth plague God sent upon the great empire, or the superpower at that time, of Egypt. It is a divine act. This act, which you have read in verse 23, it is a divine act. It's an act of God in bringing judgment upon the Egyptian. And it is also man, I would suggest. It is man to illustrate to the children of Israel and to you and me the awesome power of God to save them and to strengthen their trust in Him. It is a pictorial lesson, actually, that God is right now using this to encourage the hearts of the Israelites and to show them who He is, that He is truly the God of Israel. This ninth plague served to confound and to destroy the superstition of the Egyptian gods. You know that the Egyptians are, they have many gods, and this particular plague, the ninth plague, where the Egyptians suffered 3 days of darkness, is meant by God to destroy all this superstition of the Egyptian belief in the sun god. God here is trying to show to the children of Israel and to show to the Egyptian who is the real God. It's not the sun god of Egypt. It is the God of Israel, who is true and living and who is able. And it shows to the Egyptian, they can do nothing. Not even their sun god can, or any other gods that they have, can do anything to revert that darkness that God put in the land of the Egyptian. It is to show us all the foolishness of man-made gods, which is idolatry in the sight of God. But here, this text, we can glean three things or three lessons from this text. And I want to first of all look together with all of us here, the definition of light. What is the meaning of light? And secondly, we want to look at the source of the light. And thirdly, the manifestation of this light. First of all, the definition of light. How do we define light? Well, we can look up in an English dictionary, which I did. And the English dictionary tells me this. That the light, the meaning of light is the natural medium or the natural agent. It is electromagnetic radiation that makes sight possible. That's one meaning of light. Interestingly, as you look at the English dictionary, it also tells me another meaning. It tells me of this, what we call mental understanding or elucidation or spiritual insight. That's the meaning of light too. Light means spiritual insight or spiritual understanding. Interesting, isn't it? The dictionary is not a Bible, but it gives us that meaning. One other meaning of light, it is not heavy. Something that is light, relatively low in density or low in strength or low in degree. And that's the meaning of light too. We do also know that when there is light source, as I said, heat is produced. So we cannot see, but we can feel it. But do you know that the Bible has also a definition for light? And of course, this is the meaning that we really want to examine. What does the Bible has to tell us about light in the spiritual sense? Please turn to 1 John 1:5. The Bible in 1 John 1:5 gives us the spiritual meaning of light. It says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. We can understand from this verse that when God is described as light, it is a metaphor to represent what? To represent His holiness, to represent His purity, to represent truth, to represent knowledge and prosperity and happiness. It is in direct opposite of darkness. All these nouns that I've mentioned just now, prosperity, happiness, truth, knowledge, are used to describe the nature or the character of God. The Bible also describes something else as light. It is called what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ in 2 Corinthians 4:4. That is another meaning that the Bible is telling us of light. The verse in 2 Corinthians 4:4 can be rendered as the glorious brightness of the light of the gospel of Christ, which of course refers to the brightness or the clarity or the clearness of the doctrine and the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ manifested in the gospel. That is the meaning of 2 Corinthians 4:4, the light of the glorious gospel. The gospel is the clear teaching or the clear instruction wherein Christ is manifested. The whole gospel is that light that should illumine the minds and hearts of those who are in darkness. That is the power of that light. The light of the gospel has a very unique power. It is not just brightness, but it can shine into the heart of sinful men and enlighten them. Therefore, the light that the children of Israel had tells us something of God. It tells us something of what God is going to do with that light. As in the case of what we have already considered in our evening messages, in this new theme, discovering Christ in the Old Testament. I want you to keep this theme in mind always when we come to study in the Word of God in our evening worship. Keep this theme in mind, discovering Christ in the Old Testament. And we have done that for the past 3 weeks already. And if you keep that in mind, you can see that here, again, it is a pictorial lesson or an illustration of what God is going to do in the New Testament. Here you see that the light that the children of Israel had in their dwelling place is a prelude, is an illustration of that light that is going to come soon, not only to the children of Israel, but to the whole world. So that is what God is trying to instruct or show to the children of Israel. It also gives us here, in verse 22, of the contrast between those who have light and those who have not the light, which is represented by the Egyptian. And of course, the thick darkness there, the thick darkness in all the land of Egypt in verse 22, gives us of a picture of those who are in sin, of those who are in misery, and those who are awaiting death. That is the picture of darkness that the Lord is trying to give or illustrate to the children of Israel to help them to see right now for themselves what is the effect of being in total darkness, meaning to say being in sin and in the bondage of sin, and they have no way out. And you notice that the word there is two very important words there that tells us something. And the two words at the end of that verse is what? In verse 22 of Exodus 10, 3 days. 3 days there signifies what? That it is total, that it is complete, and that it is permanent. That is the effect of darkness. That is the effect of sin upon men. It is total, it is complete, it is permanent. As long as you are in that darkness, as long as you are in sin, that is the grip upon you. The darkness upon you is that great and permanent. This leads us to the second point. After having looked at the definition of light, and of course, as I said, we are interested not only the definition given in the dictionary, but more so what the Lord has to tell us about this light in the Bible. And now we want to move on to look at the second point, and that is the source of this light. Well, we know that with the advancement of modern science, we understand that the sun is the principal source of light. Of course, there are other means to produce light, perhaps through a torchlight, to light a match, and then you have light. And of course, through other means, perhaps a combination of a few other things, you can produce light. But in our consideration here in Exodus 10:23, this light in the dwelling place of the children of Israel is a supernatural phenomenon that is created by supernatural act. Nowhere else can you find an account of this phenomenon except in Exodus 10. Of course, there are other miracles that the Lord has done, where I think it was Joshua who prayed, you know, to ask the Lord to hold back and give him more daylight. And that is something very, it is also supernatural. But here, indeed, it is a supernatural act. And this stupendous occurrence of this light in the dwelling place of the children of Israel and darkness in the land of Egypt is recorded for us by God Himself to demonstrate to us His power. And God did it. He is that source of light that surpassed any other light. And no one is able to produce that light. And of course, you know that we are talking about the light of God, the light of the gospel. Man can never find any light that will remove or dispel all the darkness that is in his heart and in his mind. Or man will not be able to find any other light that will lead him out of that darkness he is in. It is impossible for man to find any other light. It is God. It is the act of God when He puts that light into the hearts of sinful men. When we turn to the opening page of the Bible in the book of Genesis, do you know that immediately after the second or after the first two verses, you will see that light is the first thing that God made after the creation of heaven and earth? Have you noticed that? Right from the beginning of the book of God, or the book about God, after the first two verses, in the third verse, you read that God made light. And this is significant. Do you know why? Do you know why it is significant that why did God not make everything else and perhaps make light a little later, a few days later perhaps? This is significant because I suggest that God considered light, which is synonymous to knowledge or truth, is far more precious and far more valuable and far more essential than any other things that He will make or create. Light, as I said, is the true representation of God's nature, of God's character. Because light also tells us of holiness. And of course, you know the holiness of God is what make God as He is. There is no one holy or holier than God. In Him, there can never be darkness at all. The Bible of God, or the book about God, begins with the issue of light, as I've said, in verse 3 of Genesis 1. And do you know, at the last page of the Bible, it also ends with the same subject about light. Turn to Revelation verse 21, Revelation 21 verses 22 and 23. There you see, the Bible begins with the issue of light, it also ends with the issue of light. Verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Don't stop there. It's not finished yet. Turn to Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation 22, verse 5 says, "And there shall be no night there." Where? In heaven. "And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You see? So, brethren, it is truly a great blessing for those of us who are in Christ to have God the Father and God the Son to be our light and to make us, not only He is a light to us, but He has also by His grace and mercy made us as children of light, which I think the chairman just now has read to us. Or we have read that in our responsive reading. God is not only our light, but He has made us His children, as children of light. God is the source of that light, and Christ is the source of our light. And that light is burning in our hearts. And I hope it is true of all of us, that this light is truly burning with us, in us, in our hearts. We also have the light of the gospel through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this brings us to our final point, the manifestation of this light. We have considered the definition, the source of this light. Now we want to look at the manifestation. How this light was manifested. Here in Exodus 10:23, God, or rather in this verse, it is an illusion which will be manifested to men. And the Apostle Paul, Apostle John tells us in John 8:12 this. This is what John, in John 8:12, tells us about the Lord Jesus. And this is the manifestation of that light. John 8:12 reads, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This is the manifestation of that light. In the Old Testament, and in this text that we are considering this afternoon, Exodus 10:23, we see this light very faintly. Just like the saints of old in the Old Testament, they could not see very clearly. When the promise was given to Abraham, and all other promise that God made to his people, and of course, right from the beginning to Adam and Eve, they could not really understand what God is talking about. Whereas right now, we have the benefits of the Bible, the whole Bible, and we see everything so clearly. And so it is the same here, when this verse that we read, "But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." It is a message from God to them, to tell them that He will send forth this light in due time. The manifestation of this light, far better than the light that they have in their dwelling place, will be coming soon. It is a promise to them. And so, you see here, in the Old Testament and the text that we are considering, this is very obscure. But then in the New Testament, that glorious light became so clear, and God revealed this light in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The manifestation of this light in the Old Testament is a prelude, as I said, to the light that will come not only in this world so that all men will see that light, but it will especially come upon the hearts of sinful men and sinful women, both young and old, whom God has appointed before the foundation of this world to receive that light. The darkness on the side of the Egyptian is to show the dreadfulness of being in sin, and it is a representation of those who will continue to reject the gospel and who will not receive that light of the gospel. Those words at the monument, "After darkness, light," I hope, it is a picture of us who are in Christ. Once we were in darkness, is it not true? Once we were outside of the kingdom of God. Once upon a time, before we became Christians, we were in that darkness. But after darkness, light. When the Lord Jesus came into our hearts, oh, that very day, our whole soul, our minds and our hearts, everything in us seems to be transformed. And that gospel that came into our hearts, that gospel light, dispel all that darkness from our hearts. Not only is our mind and our heart enlightened by the gospel light, the Lord Jesus made us into that bright light. So what? What is the purpose of making us to be that light? So that we can shine forth before man, that men may see our good works and glorify God the Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. The question we need to ask ourselves, and to remind ourselves perhaps, and I trust that all of us here are in the Lord, and if we are, The question we need to ask ourselves is, where is our dwelling place? Is it on the side of the Egyptian, or are we on the side of the children of Israel? And this leads us also to the next question. Is there light in our dwelling place? Is there light in our dwelling place? Is there light in our heart? Are we enlightened? Is the gospel light shining right into us? Or are we still groping in darkness? We are given that light by the grace and mercy of the Lord at an appointed time in our lives. God made that light to shine forth into our hearts, into our minds, and enable us and cause us by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive that light, and we are enlightened. So, what are we doing with that light? What are we doing with that light? For those of us in Christ, after darkness, light is the history or the testimony of every individual who comes out of darkness into the glorious gospel, into the glorious light of salvation. That should be our testimony, that we were not, as Jesus instructed his disciples in the New Testament, that we as children of light should not put our light in a bushel or under a bed, but to set it upon a candlestick. The light of the gospel not only brightens up our lives, but it also lightens our burdens. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-12. So, when you see that manifestation of that light of God, it has two aspects. It lights up our path and shows us the way to salvation. And as we continue our journey as pilgrims here, that same light that God has manifested to us, that same light will also lighten our burdens as He has promised. I hope you and I can see that the first light which was given to the children of Israel, you can see for yourself how God in His power and His mercy and in the fullness of time made that light to shine forth to all men. And you and I are privileged. You and I are truly blessed of the Lord in His mercy. That light has shined into our hearts. May we make every opportunity available to us, not to hide that light, but to let our light so shine before men. The hymn writer says this, and in fact this is our closing hymn. I just want to read to you. This is what the hymn writer said in Him, "The light of the world is Jesus." In the chorus, "Come to the light, is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this light. This light that You have shined forth into our dwelling place, our hearts. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, by Thy great mercy and through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, we are able to see that light. And You have enabled us to receive that light into our hearts. We want to thank Thee for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And we pray, Lord, that You will grant us grace and strength, that as Your people, as children of light, we may truly live true to our calling for Your glory until You come and receive us unto Yourself. In Jesus' name, Amen.